From Australia, this is Bondi Tune. Henry O'Donovan, Radio Nova, c'est la musique pour toi. Radio Nova, international. Radio Nova, c'est la musique pour toi.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes, international broadcasting from Australia and around the world. I'm Henry on Bondi Beach in Sydney. I'm joined by Bernie Jemison, who is a broadcaster and newsreader on Nova 100 FM and also another station called 4FM in Ireland. And she joins me on the line from Kildare. A very good morning to you, it is.
Good morning, Henry, from a stormy County Kildare.
You mentioned that you've got another storm coming in there.
We have, yeah. We've got Storm Brian giving it loads at the moment. Hot on the heels of Ophelia.
Of course.
If you don't mind.
Which was huge.
So a lot of people still without electricity and water down the south of the country. But we're okay here. I mean, it's not too bad here. We're kind of in a sheltered inland spot here, so...
Fantastic.
Just
good
a few
you.
Trees down and that.
We covered this from our Irish broadcasters on Bondi Tunes International last week. And gosh, so much damage. Unbelievable. Now, listen, I mentioned that you're working, you're providing news as a newsreader to Nova 100 FM. Of course, you and I met in 1984 when I joined the original Radio Nova. And just to let our listeners know, Radio Nova, which was, on a number of different frequencies, but mainly broadcast on AM and, of course, FM. It could be heard across the waters to Britain, Scotland, and up to Northern Ireland. In fact, it was a pirate station. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it was larger than any other so-called commercial station in Ireland, apart from, of course, the national broadcaster, RTE Radio 1. When I went to Nova in 1984, you really helped me a lot, because I've been working in these tiny little radio stations, and suddenly I was on this big station, and even walking up the road in to the studios in the country, I just looked at that mast and it frightened the hell out of me. Bernie, where did you start in radio? Because it's something I never asked you when we were working together for some years as newsreaders on Nova.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I too came from those small little pirate radio stations. Radio Dublin, ABC Radio, and that's where I worked before Radio Nova. But just to put it in context for your listeners, Henry, back in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have independent commercial radio. So those of us who wanted and longed for something different with the music that we wanted to hear, we just basically had to set up our own radio stations, And a lot of small pirates were spawned, and some of them, a lot of them came and went. But I suppose the ones that people might know of would be Radio Dublin, ARD, Big D,
And there was Capital ABC Radio.
Things like that.
There was loads
Capital
of them.
Capital Radio, yeah.
Yeah, and I just...
Southside Radio.
Oh, and that's where I started, Southside Radio, in Dunleary.
Oh, you were on Southside, weren't you?
I was. Yeah. It's a small...
Yeah.
And so
that was a good station. Yeah.
So was...
And that was the precursor to BLB. Very local broadcasting.
Oh, that's right. And we're sounding like real anoraks now. head of news at Nova employed me. She was also a Southsider. I think Nova had all the Southsiders, and Sunshine Radio, which we'll talk about in a minute, has a lot of Northsiders. Sybil Fennell employed me, and she also started in Southside Radio in Dunleary, as did many other people like David Harvey and other household names. Let's have a look at this. Now, the Broadcast Act was between 1929 and I think it was changed in 1932. And the reason all these stations started coming up in around the whole of Ireland, not just the big cities, is because the Broadcast Act was so out of date that there was loopholes everywhere. And then there was a big raid of the original Radio Nova in 1982, I do believe. I don't know, were you with Nova at the time?
No, I wasn't there. I joined in 1983. So... yeah, that was the big raid. That was the one that people remember. And, of course, Nova was just off for a day or something, and came back on the next day, you know?
The newspapers were a day behind. Like, the next day they go, Nova's off, but Nova would have already come back on. Do you feel, as a journalist and as a newsreader, we both sort of worked in the same era, the early to mid-80s, and again on Magic 103, we had a great time on that station, which was a music station connected with a kind of networked to Radio Nova, where we'd read the news on Nova at the top of the hour. I mean, a lot of people talk about this and go, God, they were great days. But really, Bernie, weren't they great days? We were so young.
They were great days, Henry. They were absolutely brilliant. And I'll tell you why. Because there was so much energy around radio at the time. Because it was new, because we felt like we were doing something different. You know, Nova broadcast on 88 FM and also on medium wave. And FM was different, you know. I mean, all the previous to that, all the radio, you would listen to the radio on medium wave. And there was, you know, the sound was, had a certain kind of sound, but it wasn't very clear. So that lovely crystal clear sound of Radio Nova on FM, that's what, you know, when I look back on those days, I remember that sound, you know, and you could just, you could hear everything, and it was just so, it was wonderful. But also because of the fact that we knew we were doing something different, you know, we were paving the way for the future, really, as I say, like there was nothing, there was no legal independent radio station at the time. So we were filling a gap, you know, and people loved it, absolutely.
Yeah, I was working for Southside Radio, as I just mentioned, in Dunleary, which is a satellite city south of Dublin. And I remember listening to Radio Nova originally on 88 FM and thinking, my God, what is this?
Yeah.
The music was fantastic. Yeah. I think John Clark, who I'm going to briefly mention later, was on Nova at the time, and it was called Clutter Free, which meant that not much talking, not much advertising, just a lot of really good West Coast American music, and it worked, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it surely worked, yes. 738 Radio Nova. You know, we all felt like we were all part of this, something new, something amazing. We knew there was something different going on, and there was a sense, there was that sense of being part of history, I think, wasn't there, you know?
Yeah,
especially when
absolutely.
You look, it's not just when you look back on it and you realise it, but you do, you know, we did feel that there was something really different going on here.
Bondi Tunes International is everywhere.
This is language educator Carol Cotter in Spain.
This is Don Drost in Orlando, Florida.
I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney.
This is Ling Pang, UK correspondent for Bondi Tunes International.
Declan Hughes in Dublin.
I am the political correspondent, Adam Devlin, in Melbourne.
I'm Joe Volta.
And I'm Paul Bull.
Reporting from Tasmania.
Ronan Seagrave in Canada.
It's entertainment reporter Rachel Brunson in Melbourne.
I'm Lindsay Dolan for Bondi Tunes International in Dublin, Ireland.
Bondi Tunes International is everywhere.
The best music on Radio Nova.
And if you've just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting from Sydney in Australia. We broadcast around the world with correspondents on just about every continent. I'm talking with broadcaster and newsreader Bernie Jemison, who I worked with on Radio Nova, the pirate Radio Nova, back in the mid-1980s. And we talk about the money side of this, or lack thereof.
We gave up good jobs to go and work there, you know.
Well, I gave up working in McDonald's restaurants to go there. and really tiny radio stations where they just never paid us. You go into this big radio station in Rathfarnham. And you get paid. It was just so unheard of for a pirate radio station. It was fantastic. You know, I wasn't so aware as you were at the time. I just couldn't believe I got onto Nova. As a young person, I was 22 when I got onto Nova, and I didn't think so much of the future that you just mentioned. I just thought, my God, I'm on Nova. And it took me about a month to sort of realize that I'd done this. Really, I was just lucky because I was one of 200 people who applied for a job on that station as a newsreader. I saw lines of people up in Stocking Lane in Rathfarnham. And I thought, I'm like number 50 and I got the job. And it was like winning the lottery for me. But you know what,
Bernie?
You know what, Bernie? I really didn't look to the future about this. I wish I had, because I would have taken a lot more photographs. But I just sort of lived
so
in the moment.
Yeah, I know. Well, we did. Yes, I know. I know. And you know, and it was hard work as well. And
it was.
You know, it was hard work. Yeah, because you know, we had the old typewriters. There was no internet back in those days.
Yes.
Yes.
And you had to be able
to
type.
The old electric typewriter.
Yes.
And type up every story yourself,
That's right. And we would, of course, get stuff from CFAX and Oracle, which at the time were these kind of messaging service on television. And, of course, we lifted news from the national broadcaster, RTE Radio's news. And, you know, when asked on Today Tonight on RTE's Current Affairs show, Chris Carey, the owner of Radio Nova, he said, well, you know what? If give us a license and we won't lift your news. That was so funny.
Well, yeah, but he had a point because I don't know if you remember, we did have a news feed from the Press Association, and
it was great.
Certain people had that cut off from us, so you know they cut off our source, you know, just out of spite.
I like
that was part of the.
I like the way you
say jamming, and that
I like the way you say certain people, and you know those certain people. Those certain people jammed us as well. I'm going to talk to John Clark, actually. Now, John Clark is a household name in Ireland, has worked on the national broadcaster, what used to be called Radio 2, now is called 2FM. As far as I understand, he's doing some work for Nova 100. Is that correct?
Yes, he is. Oh, he does a great show on Sunday morning. You should try and listen in online. You'd love it. Yeah. And he also plays the old Nova jingles, which is lovely to hear.
Does he really?
Yes, he does, yeah.
Fantastic.
So he would play, he'll play all the favourites. Whatever you want to hear, if John has it in his box, he'll play it for you, you know. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Have a listen.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I know that on RT2FM, which used to hate Radio Nova back in the 80s, I think it was the anniversary of the when the PNT just took all their transmitters. And on the national broadcast, she played all these old Radio Nova jingles, which I thought was fantastic. It's really good. I was like, he got RTE back. I just want to let you know, if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Bernie Jemison, who is a broadcaster and newsreader on a couple of stations in Dublin, including Nova 100 FM, 4FM. And we're having a chat about the old days. Can I ask you now, Bernie,
Just before you move on to the next question, I just want to mention about the jamming. People wonder where that came from. Chris Carey and engineer Paul Cotter went around Dublin trying to figure out where the jamming was coming from, and they traced it to the Broadcasting Museum. There was a Broadcasting Museum in Dublin City Centre at the time. Now, I don't think it's there anymore, and it's certainly different to, there is a vintage radio museum in Howth in County Dublin nowadays. That's not it. It's totally different. Nothing to do with that. But it was coming from the Broadcasting Museum, and RTE were using that as a base to jam the signal from Nova.
Yes. I didn't know whether to mention that or not, because it's never actually been proven. But probably, you know, your now husband, Paul Cotter, probably did prove it at the time, but it was never went to court or anything like that, did it?
No, it didn't. No, well, it's history now.
Indeed.
What does it matter now?
It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. What would you say about, first of all, the technical changes? And you know, for our younger listeners, I know you probably don't know what a cart machine is, but I'm sure you'll know what a record is. And tapes. When we started in radio, of course, you and I were mostly newsreaders. I don't know if you did any shows on Nova or other stations, but... we used these cart machines, which were circular tapes. So you'd play a song on a cart machine and then it would finish and go back to the start of it. But the quality was not crash hot. Nowadays, of course, it's all computers. Do you think that there's something lost in pressing buttons on cart machines as you work as a broadcaster, especially when you've done, I know you do other some broadcasting, have done some broadcasting other than being a newsreader, where you would basically use these, you'd have three screens in front of you. Is there something lost about, because I hear, you know, I've been in Ireland a couple of years ago, and I went to a couple of stations, and they even have, it's so automated that they can just go out and have a fag. Yeah. It's just, and I thought, this is awful, you know, like it's no, they even, a guy told me from what's now called Sunshine Radio in Dublin, he said, you know, I recorded those things last night. And he just, what do you think?
I know, I'm not really a fan of the voice tracking, I have to say. I think you can't beat live radio. And I think the listener knows the difference between something that a program that's voice tracked and a program that is live where the DJ is there because, well, first of all, they're able to read out your text or they're able to answer the phone or, you know, and they're able to respond to your requests. Whereas a voice tracked show, there's no relationship between the listener and the presenter, really. You know, there's a kind of a fake relationship, you know, trying to make it sound like it's live and trying to make it sound like there's interaction going on, but most people can tell the difference, you know. So, yes, I think I know it makes life easier for presenters if they're on, you know, if they have to be somewhere else, you know, and their show is on at an hour that they can't be actually in the radio station or it's too far away or something. And they're in circumstances like that, yes. That's okay, but I think, you know, I would prefer to see live radio. And talking about carts and things, now the last radio show I presented on Magic, I always used vinyl. Cued it up the old-fashioned way, you know, the record up the old-fashioned way on the decks. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we both worked on Magic 103, which I mentioned earlier is connected to Radio Nova. And we'd read the news at the top of the hour, crossing live to the main Radio Nova. Magic 103 was a lovely station of chat and music. And it was a lot of fun. I had some of my best radio days there. I just want to ask you something on the side here, which amuses me. Your name is Bernie Jemison, right? You're a newsreader on Nova, at the original Nova. There was a TOTH, or that's what we call it in the industry, a top of the hour jingle for the news, and they would say, "It's Jemison Jewelers time." Do you remember that?
Was that on Nova?
Yeah,
I remember that, yeah.
I just thought that was funny, given your surname is Jemison. Oh, dear. I only sort of thought about that the other day when I was prepping this interview.
I'm making my escape. when Slider calls. It's tit for tat when Slider calls. It's ratty rat, the sky falls, the thunder claps. I see my house of cards collapse when Slider calls. The muse gets jammed when Slider calls. The best laid plans, the sky falls. The signal fades, I lock the door and shut the shades and contemplate the crystal blue familiar funk I'm plunged into when Slider calls.
With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
Radio Nova. The mighty
A90. So what do you think of radio? I know you probably have to be careful because you're working in radio, but what do you think about the change in the style of radio? We talked about, you know, the fact that the radio is so automated a minute ago. Do you think that radio has become bland, particularly FM radio?
Yes, I think it has become rather bland. You know, I mean, for instance, now I'm a mature student at Maynooth University, and we've got our own campus radio station, and it reminds me of the pirate days, because the young people in there are so enthusiastic about their radio shows, and they have control over what they're doing, of what they're saying. Now some of it is a load of rubbish maybe, or some, just as far as some listeners are concerned, and they admit, you know, they just go in there and some of them are just doing for laugh. But then again, that's what we did in the pirate days as well. We did it for the enjoyment. There's a lot of enjoyment about the radio programs, and of course they can play whatever music they like as well, and
unlike commercial radio.
Yeah,
the irony of
trying to say, I'm just comparing the two. Like, yes. And when you go in there, you feel, you know, you feel that kind of light-hearted, happy feeling, you know, of of what radio should be. Now, I mean, that's not to say, I mean, you get that. I mean, I have to say the place that I work at the moment, 4FM and Nova, it's a fantastic place to work. The team are excellent, and you just couldn't ask for more. But I've been in other radio stations where it's not like that at all. And there's pretty much joyless places to work, I'm sorry to say that, and you know, it's unfortunate that it's gone that way. Completely the other way. Independent radio is, you know.
Well, they're saying that men in business suits are running these operations. Has been going on ILR in Britain for many years. Mm-hmm. Just on an offside, I want to talk about what the internet's doing with radio, but also just to mention that Carol Cotter, our language educator, many of you, our listeners will know that she's on. She will know of her. She's on the show every week, and we have an absolute great time. And she's your daughter, Carol Cotter. We both have an acerbic wit, an acerbic kind of wit, and it works very well on air. And she, you know, Carol's is just so good on the air. And I just wanted to mention that Bernie, who I'm talking to, dear listener, is her mother. Now, where does the internet come in? Apart from FM stations broadcasting on the internet, of course, you've got DAB, digital radio. And then you've got these endless streaming services. Is FM radio, as in commercial FM radio, under threat to, you know, teenagers who can just stream music endlessly, you know, on their iPhones or anywhere?
Yeah.
You know?
It could be. It is a good question. I'm not really sure what the last JNLR is. Well, we're due a JNLR next week, so we'll see what the statistics say about how many people are listening to radio. But radio listenership is certainly still huge in Ireland. And, you know, in particular when people are driving, they want to listen to the radio. They want to listen to FM radio.
Yeah. And they got traffic reports and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly, yes. Mm. You know, and I mean, you can have endless streaming music, but there's something, you know, you want to hear, you know, the human voice talking to you, you know, even if it's just giving the weather or whatever, or as you say, a traffic report. It makes a huge difference, I think, you know. Mm. But if they're not playing the music you want to hear, well, that's a different question.
Yes, it certainly is. There's a lot of problems with this formatted radio, you know.
Yes, exactly. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you heard about it, but a pirate radio station popped up on FM.
What?
Playing oldies. Yes, called Connect FM. I don't know if I should even be mentioning it.
I don't know.
But it was fantastic, and everyone was listening to it in their cars, you know. It was in Dublin, but we could pick it up here in Kildare, and it was taken off air, obviously. It was shut down.
Mm, but heavy penalties.
It just revealed to me that even though, okay, when I was listening, it was just, they were just playing music, but the difference between, I suppose, listening to your own private music selection and music that's going out on the radio, there is that subtle difference, you know? There's something about a shared experience
this
of
so,
other listeners.
This is so true, and I'll just make a point. My girlfriend and I have often talked about this. You know, we could stream, let's say, a comedy on the web through the ABC Network website here in Australia or whatever, or from wherever. But when it's on television, you know, everyone else is watching at the same time. There's this sense of community. Isn't it really interesting?
That's it, community. Yeah, that's what it is, a sense of community of listeners or viewers or whatever it is, you know, that makes a difference, that makes you feel... It enhances the experience of listening to a particular song if you know other people are enjoying it as well. Well, you know, that's the way we are. We're human. That's the way we want to share. We want to share experiences. And I think that's so important. So I don't think radio is ever going to die.
No,
if you're wondering,
no.
You know.
No, I think. You know, there's so many platforms now. But I sort of agree with you. I would never just stream. I mean, maybe the kids are just streaming stuff and they don't care about the news or the weather or the traffic. But I think as you get older, you sort of want that sense of community in radio. So I think there is a place for FM radio. And thank God for that, for our sakes. Bernie, it's been so good to talk to you. It's been a long time coming. Thank you so much for joining us here on Bondi Tunes International once again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for talking to me, Henry.
Et partout dans le monde, le soleil ne se couche jamais sur Bondi Tunes.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. I'm rejoined by Adam Devlin, who is not only our Australian political correspondent, but he wears many hats. In this case, he is our music guru, and he joins me now from Melbourne. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, Henry, how you doing? I'm doing well.
Excuse me. Is there ever a time that you would run out of picks of the week?
Oh, I can't imagine that ever happening. It depends. Even if they were to stop producing new music today and there was never any more new music recorded, there's such a vast wealth of material that's already been recorded and is available that I could do this. I could do a pick of the week every day for the rest of my life for you and never repeat myself.
That's amazing. On this subject of you know, music and I actually played an ABBA song on my own music show. I have a music show called Bondi Tunes Plus, which plays music. I play music from the 40s to the 90s every week. And I was playing an ABBA song, Hasta Mañana.
Ah, yes.
Pronounce that incorrectly.
Hasta mañana.
Mañana, thank you. And I
hasta
just...
Hasta mañana, say we'll meet again.
Please don't. And I just wondering, you know, we've been talking about ABBA and some new songs and perhaps a new album. It's been a year and a half or more since we've been talking about this. What's going on?
Well, Bjorn actually gave an interview the other day, within the last week. And was asked that very question. And basically what he said was, and I sort of understand why he said this, he said, look, the new songs will definitely be released. They're just definitely happening. It's just that they've had legal issues that they've had to resolve because they were written, the new material started as a soundtrack to the ABBA tour. Project that they're working on, where they're going to do a world tour featuring avatars of the four of them. And so legally this new music is wrapped up with that somehow, and that has been delayed because they can't get the avatar technology good enough yet.
Adam, do they really need this?
No, they don't,
because we were talking about people would go to a cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
And people can't go to a cinema at the moment.
No. But what he ended up with saying is that they are working their way through those issues. And even if the Avatar thing never happens, this music will get released at some point. And he's hoping that it will be next year.
Okay.
Well. So I'm not optimistic about that happening. I've pretty much just for out of self-preservation, I've in my mind said, these will never be released. You'll never see them until they're dead.
That's just to keep yourself sane.
Exactly.
Don't.
And hopefully one day soon we'll just get up in the morning and there'll be new ABBA music there for us, and won't that be the day?
Yes, indeed, won't it? Okay, now we've got your pick of the week. Have you got your right hat on?
I do. I've got the beret on.
The beret, okay. A French music guru.
Oui.
What's on the plate?
Well, this is really interesting. It's a debut album that has just come out. It's by a young American singer. She's 25 years of age. Her name is Alexandra Arturovna Yatchenko. And sensibly, she goes by the name Sasha Sloan.
Yes.
Sasha Sloan has such more ear appeal.
And it's easier to pronounce.
Absolutely. I love the name Sasha Sloan. It just has such... It's a real classy name. I just think that name evokes quality and class.
Well, you know, when I think of Sasha, I think of Sasha Baron Cohen. Now, that's class.
Yes, I just watched the new Borat film last night.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, what's it like?
I really enjoyed it. You've got to appreciate his sense of humour to want to watch the movie.
Damn right about that.
I think he's a comedic genius. So,
me too.
It was amazing. Very different to the first one in tone. Concept is the same in that he's in America with somebody going around doing interviews and just bumbling everything up. But this time, instead of it being a government official that's traveling with him, it's his daughter that's traveling with him.
His 15-year-old daughter.
Yes. And I have to say, I don't know who the actress is who's playing his daughter in this. But whoever she is, she deserves the Academy Award for Best Performance.
Yeah, she's 23. And she's and I think she's from Moldova or somewhere. And you know, I've seen the promo clips, as most of our audience listening to us would have seen. The clips are all over America, especially because of Rudy Giuliani.
Yes, and that scene, I have to say, was for those people who aren't aware of it, it's a scene where his daughter, Barat's daughter, is interviewing Rudy Giuliano.
Giuliani,
sorry.
Not that it matters.
No. And at one point, Barat bursts into the room going, stop this, do not have sex with her. She's 15, she's too old for you.
Too old?
and she gets... I just don't understand how this happened, how he allows this to happen. But he takes her, it's in a hotel room, he takes the young girl into the bedroom, he's laying down on the bed and he's got his hands down his pants.
Yeah.
This is the ex-mayor of New York City. Mm. How? I just don't understand. I was watching it going, I know this is not scripted to the point that Giuliano or whatever his silly name is in on the joke. I know that this is, he doesn't know what's happening, but why would he so willingly just get up and walk into the bedroom of a hotel room and lay on the bed and shove his hands down his pants with a 15-year-old girl?
It is so wrong. I mean, the whole thing is so wrong.
Yeah, it just, where was his, I can't explain. Captivating to watch. But I can't explain it.
Yes.
The other thing that, there's two other things that I wanted to say about this movie that I just think is amazing. Mm. And the things that I was not expecting. It's creating a bit of a buzz at the moment because it features period blood.
What?
There's a scene towards the end of the film where we see his 15-year-old daughter menstruating. And we actually see the blood.
Giving it away here, are we?
No. I'm not going to give any spoilers.
Okay.
Yep, that's out, and it's actually gone viral.
I think the whole movie's out there anyway. Yeah. I mean, you know, even if you haven't seen it, there's so much being talked about in this movie, and I think it's all predictable anyway.
Women's rights movements are applauding Sacha Cohen Baron for what many people are saying is their first experience of menstrual blood in a film.
Oh, gee, God.
The other thing that he's being heralded as a hero for is there are several women, real women, not characters, who interact with his daughter character. Mm. And because of the broken English and the script that she's using, it's very easy to misconstrue what she's actually saying as if she is the victim of pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
And these women, the way they handle it is being heralded as a textbook example of how to respond if somebody comes to you with suggestions of pedophilia or child sexual abuse.
Right.
The way these women respect her, listen to her, offer her advice, give her solutions and alternatives that she can do as opposed to just going back into this the same scenario that she came from. So this film, unlike the first one was just purely comedy.
Yeah, this has got political undertones and social undertones.
This is a lot more social than political. The politics is absolutely still there.
Yes, absolutely.
And hysterical, hilarious, the politics of it. But it's matched by this serious social issues. And the way it's done is so heartfelt and so real and exemplary. Like it is, you know, if I thought that somebody I knew was being abused sexually or was the at risk of pedophilia, I would use sections of this movie as a how-to video.
Wow, that's saying something.
That's how it is.
I just want to mention that her name is Maria Bakalova, and she's, of course, playing a 15-year-old, but she's actually 23. She's 24 years old, and she's from Bulgaria. And I saw him being interviewed with Maria, And he just couldn't praise her enough. He said she... And the interesting thing is that she's pretty well known in Bulgaria, where she's from, right, but obviously not anywhere else until now. And she was really shy in the interview. And he just could not say enough about her. She was picked out of over 150 people for this part. And I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah. Look, I think she's a star in the making. And if she does not get nominated for an Academy Award for her performance in this film, that's a travesty.
You'll have to eat your hat or your beret. Yes. Okay, let's get back to this.
Yes.
Gee, we went off on a tangent, didn't we? But we're allowed to do that.
That's not like us.
No, it's so unlike us. Back to your pick of the week, Adam.
Yes.
Where were we?
Sasha Sloan. The 25-year-old American singer-songwriter just released her first debut album. You only get one debut album. She's just released her debut album.
You always do that.
So I had no idea who she was, and I saw her come up on my list of new releases for the week that I get. I source a list of new releases from all of the record companies around the world. Mm-hmm. And I go through that each week and I look at what's there, and I saw this, and the album cover attracted me first of all. I thought, wow, what an interesting album cover. It sort of harks back to something from the 60s.
Oh.
Sort of late 60s, early 70s, sort of Melanie, sort of Mamas and Papas sort of feel to it. And then her name, Sasha Sloan, fitted with that image perfectly.
Yes.
And
do you remember Sasha Distel?
Yes.
That was 60s.
And the Sloan Rangers.
And the Sloan Rangers, yes.
it's got that very sort of late 60s, early 70s feel to the album cover, just the look of the photo and the font that's used and everything. And I went, oh, this looks interesting. What's this? And I started to listen to it and I went, hang on, is this new or is it a compilation of somebody that recorded in the 70s?
Wow.
And so I went and did a bit of research and realized, no, it is brand new. But it's got a very definite early 70s sound to it. In fact, production-wise, and even vocally on some songs on this album, it's very reminiscent of some of the more classy Carpenters stuff.
Ah.
That's where it sort of fits. Mm. Not so much lyrically, but certainly vocally and production wise, it sort of fits into that middle of the road adult contemporary sort of feel. Mm. Then I did some research. Who is this woman? Where's she come from? What else has she done?
Yeah.
Yes, this is her debut album. She has released three EPs prior to that. Two in 2018 called Sad Girl and Loser, and then in 2019 a new one called Self Portrait. She's released a dozen or so singles from those EPs. Some have charted, most haven't. Then I got to a thing where it said, you know, her writing credits for other artists, and I went, oh, she's writing for other people. What's going on here? She has... Since 2015, she's written a whole slathe of hits for other artists, including Idina Menzel, who was one of the biggest Broadway stars ever. Who else is on here? Camila Cabello, who is a massive Latin American star. Mm. Kygo, who is a massive electronic star at the moment. Charlie XCX is one of the biggest pop stars on the planet at the moment. She's written songs for her that have gone to the top of the charts. John Legend, who is, no pun intended, a musical legend.
Yes.
She's written for him. He's got a new album coming out this year, and she's got a song on that. She's also worked with Katy Perry, who is, you know, the Madonna of her day now. Like, you know, yes. She's...
But was she singing herself before all this?
Yes.
Was she releasing stuff before?
She released three EPs before the album, and that was during the time that she was writing and recording with these other artists. So, the industry has said to her, "You're somebody worth supporting, and you're a stayer. We want to work with you."
Mm.
that when I first listened to the album, I was struck by two things. One was, as I said a moment ago, the production and the sound of the album. It sounded very reminiscent of that early 70s, late 60s sound. Mm. But then I started to focus on the lyrics.
Yes.
And lyrically, she's a very competent, very profound lyricist. She's only 25, so it's going to be fascinating to see where this girl goes with her music.
She's done all that at the age of 25.
I know. Let's not pontificate about, you know, what I've done in my 50s.
Well, I was just thinking, when I was 25, okay, I was on radio. That was about it, reading the news. That was all I did. Nothing else.
Yeah, no, by 25, I was on a bar stool in a gay bar on Oxford Street, and that's about it.
And you remember that. That's amazing that you remember that.
But yeah, she's...
Anyway, what's this song about? Yeah.
This album does not have a bad song on it. There's 10 songs. Every one of them could be a single. Every one of them is brilliant. The song I've chosen is, after only a couple of listens, is my favourite so far on the album. And the song is called Someone You Hate. Now, that's a very evocative and provocative title for a song.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really tell. As she's saying, I'm someone you hate, or you're leaving me for someone you hate, or, you know, who is this somebody and who's doing the hating?
Yes.
You know, and hate is a strong word. It's a really strong word that isn't used very often in pop songs, in a title. Like, it's often used in a verse.
In a line,
stanza. But it's rarely used as a title for a song, applying it to someone. And so here we've got Someone You Hate. That title alone grabbed my attention. And then I listened to the song, then I read the lyrics without listening to the song, and here's a little, my only quirk with this song is I think this song would make a brilliant song to be recorded by some very well-known male singer. I think this should be recorded by a man, and I know that people may think that that's a sexist thing for me to say, but when you listen to this song, and I just want to give you the first stanza if I can.
Sure.
It says, told your mama I'd take care of you, loaded up the car, drove into the dark, billboard signs and skylines painted blue, we made it home, but I felt alone. And so straight away, you know that this is about a relationship that's ended up with the word hate in it, that the word hate describes. And it starts by the person, by the saying, you know, I told your mother I'd take care of you, and
it
here
does
I am.
Sound like, it does sound like a man's line, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It goes on. We were growing apart, and I knew I had to break your heart. So off I went. Haven't seen you since. I went from someone you held when you were lonely, someone you called your one and only. I threw it all away. I went from someone you loved to someone you hate.
Do you think there's a point of this, that she's reversed what would be traditionally a man saying all that?
Absolutely. She has flipped that on its head.
Yes.
She's taken the male narrative and personalized it into a woman. And I love that. It threw me to start with, because it was like, hang on, this doesn't sound right. This is a bit, you know, that's something a man would say.
She also has a lot of timbre, if that's the word, timbre, yes, in her voice, because when I was listening to it, I was thinking, is this a man's voice or a woman's voice?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, she's got a stunningly beautiful voice.
Yes, yes.
It's so listenable.
And it's a dreamy song in many respects, you know?
Yeah. And when you actually concentrate on the lyrics, it goes from being this lovely, tender song to punching you in the throat.
Yes, yes, it does. That's absolutely right. And if you actually look up her on YouTube, they give you the lyrics, which is always good for me because I don't listen to lyrics, and that's why you're on the show. If you actually look up Sasha Sloan and check out Someone You Hate, you do see the lyrics, and it helps me a lot because it showed me the story, basically.
And it's a great... technically, it's a very well-written song as well, lyrically and musically. And so before I do a pick of the week with you,
yes,
I like to pull a song apart. I like to get inside it, get to know it fully. And this song tells me why the recording industry is clamoring to work with her. Why legends in the industry are saying, we want to sing her songs.
Yeah. And also,
they're interesting. They're complex. They're diverse. And she looks at
relationships
in a new and fresh way.
Yes. She's got a great resume. She's been writing for everyone else.
Brilliant resume. Mm. And she's also got an interesting and new look on relationships for pop music, in pop music. And that's a hard thing to come up with.
Mm. Okay. Can you present this for us, Adam?
Absolutely. This is one of the best albums of 2020, in my opinion. It's a debut album, and it's rare for a debut album to be so well received by me. Her name is Sasha Sloan. She's 25-year-old. She's from America. Her new album, her debut album called Only Child, is out now. I strongly recommend that you get a copy of this album. It will live with you for a very long time. This song is one of the best songs on the album. It's one of the best songs of this year. I am slightly obsessed with this already after only a couple of listens. But here she is, Sasha Sloan, with the amazing Someone You Hate.
Told your mama I'd take care of you. Loaded up the car. Drove into the dark. Billboard signs and skylines painted blue. We made it a home, but I felt alone. We were growing, growing apart, and I knew I had to break your heart, so off I went. Haven't seen you since. I went from someone you held, you held when you were lonely. Someone you called, you called your one and only. I threw it all away. I went from someone you love to someone you hate. Summer nights were feeling kind. Sleeping back to bed, I knew we'd never last. We were growing, growing apart, and I knew I had to break your heart, so off I went. Haven't seen you since. I went from someone you helped, you held when you were lonely. Someone you called, you called your one and only. I threw it all away. I went from someone you love to someone you hate. I know we talked about forever. I know you thought we'd end up together. I threw it all away. I went from someone you change. Well, I guess it's true. I went from someone you helped, you held when you were lonely. Someone you called, you called your one and only. I threw it all away. I went from someone you love to someone you hate. I know we talked about forever. I know you thought
From Australia, this is Bondi Tune.
Henry O'Donovan.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.